More than that. But yeah, we can talk about that.
Okay, yeah, because I'm sitting there going, what the frick? And there's our cold open, folks. Hello and welcome to the Elsner Show. I had to think about that. God, I hate that I had to think about that. I'm sitting there, hello and welcome. What show is this? What show is this? Hello and welcome to the Elsner Show, the show that's independent right now, but we'll soon be going over to Galactic Netcasts. This is the show where we talk about everything that is on our nerdy little hearts, that is happening out all in nerd culture, all that stuff. I think I combined all four of the intros that I do for the show. My name is Gregor Sprague, and joining me, as always, is Corey Scott. Corey, how you doing?
I'm fine. Remember we had multiple shows? How did we do that then?
Well, I wasn't working.
And, no, that's true.
And I had a lot of free time on my hand.
Welcome to the other side. Yeah, the couple of years that I was unemployed made doing this a lot easier.
Yeah. But no, so, and then there's also times when frickin', what is it, EM, what is my mail service? EM client that I'm using for my internet didn't, or made it to where I had to delete frickin' the Hangout. And after I had everything set up, but it just kept going, reminder, like, I'm like, I know, I wanted to start it, shut the sort of, but yeah.
The persistence of something that gives a shit more than we do.
Yeah, I'm sitting there going, dismiss, dismiss. I don't get this at work. I'm like, when it pops up for work, it's like, hey, you got to go to work. It's like, I know, get away. Just shut up. But anyways, so yeah, I feel like this episode is going to be like just rant filled because apparently this was a nationwide thing. I thought this was just my house for a second, but Comcast had just decided to cut out on me and give me only local stuff.
Comcast, we didn't notice as much of it taking a shit in regards to certain things. I woke up Sunday morning, no, not Sunday morning, yesterday morning, which was Monday, and my wife was playing on her phone next to me before the alarm went off for her, and she's like, is your phone not connecting to things? Can you not access stuff? And I'm like, oh, well, let me check. And sure enough, yeah, the home internet wasn't working, but the wireless was there. So it's always one of those great things of like, well, we're on the Wi-Fi, but the Wi-Fi can't do dick. So I flipped over to Verizon, which, great, we get such a fantastic Verizon signal in my house. Oh, wait, no, we don't. And managed to... The only thing that really seemed to work was Facebook. I think that's some kind of conspiracy. Eventually, I see... it might have been Tanya Hall was the first person I noticed post a story about the fact that Comcast was down. Maybe it wasn't Tanya. Maybe it was Jason or Roger Chang or somebody. But somebody posted about it saying that Comcast was actually down. And it was weird because the map was... There was red spots, and a lot of the splotches were on your coast.
Yeah,
but then there was this distinct red splotch in the Bay Area of of Northern California, and I'm like, how in the fuck does Michigan and all these other places over the other side of the country have problems, and then just us over here? And I know Comcast covers a lot more of the country than what was down, so something very specific was happening. Aaron went to work, and I'm sitting there, and I just finally got frustrated playing on my phone, so I said, screw it. Fought my way to get Movie Phone to pop up on there so I could go see what time Deadpool was playing. So that's what I did yesterday morning to get through it. When I came home, the internet was working again, but the cable box in the front room was acting wonky, so I rebooted it, and then it just wouldn't do anything. And since I had the X1 system from Comcast, one cable box controls the DVR for the whole house, and it's also kind of in charge of a lot of other things. So even though I could watch TV in the bedroom, because that one I hadn't rebooted, the one in the front room, just showing the HGTV logo up there because it was the last channel I had on, wasn't doing anything. And even since later on, like a few hours later, I rebooted it again and it came up and it seemed to be working normally, but all of my DVR shows are gone.
Oh.
And I had the entirety of the second season of The Librarians. I had some other shows that I had gotten on there. This week's Venture Brothers I haven't seen yet. Last week's The People vs. O.J. Simpson I was able to watch on demand. So there were things that I was definitely bummed out to lose, and I don't know. I haven't checked since I got home today if they've come back or not. They're probably not going to. But that made me a little bit better, because it used to be that the DVRs, if you had a DVR, it stored it locally, and that was it. And I had DVRs in both bedrooms, so I could actually record a bunch of shows. It was just the watching them room to room wasn't available. This really kind of put me off of Comcast. And then, of course, I got my email notice later on in the day saying, here's your new Comcast bill. By the way, it's $300.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But I'm not a cord cutter. I'm just not that guy.
No, and so with me, it was phone worked, except I couldn't call Comcast, which I think was part of it. I'm like, all right. But it was funny because the first one I misdialed, I think I added an extra letter to just doing the 1-800 Comcast, and it's Dish. And I'm like, how? That's genius marketing. I don't know what numbers I dialed, but it was like, I noticed it was extra, and it's like, welcome to the Dish hotline.
Yeah, well, that's like anytime you accidentally transpose the letters in Google.com, and all of a sudden you wind up on some other site that's almost Google-like, except it has just the shittiest advertising in the world. that doesn't surprise me at all. We'll backdoor the fuck out of you online or on the phone.
But I still had internet. I just didn't have, and it was great because it was Monday, because I worked in the morning, so it was morning, and I'm sitting here watching TV before I had to go to work, and I just get through Talking Dead, because I had watched the second episode of Walking Dead, I was watching Talking Dead with Carrie Underwood, Greg Nicotero, and Benedict Samuel, which, how come there are no awesome Americans named Benedict?
Because Benedict here was a real dipshit. we do not enjoy the Benedict. I can understand why Britain still thinks he's a cool guy and stuff. Not us. No.
No, no. The Benedict Samuel, he was the actor who played the wolf, as he was branded. But okay. the dude that was in Morgan's basement, he's Australian. And I'm sitting there like, oh, Benedict. Oh, it's such a great name.
No, it's good eggs, and that's about it.
Yeah.
And I'm not really even into those, but I.
But no, and then I get through that, and it's like, I can't exit the. Why can't I exit? So I'm sitting there bashing exit. Finally, it's like, we have a problem. Like, yeah, I know. And then it froze on a commercial because I still had the TV on Cartoon Network going. And then it froze on a commercial. When I came back, I'm like, why are those kids frozen? And it was like a Capri Sun commercial. I turned
the
channel.
They were letting it go.
Yeah. I turned the channel. It's the same. It's like the info thing popped up, but it was still the same. I'm like, all right. And I'm like, okay, if I get far enough away, because I've had it where it's like a small little block of channels, I go to like IFC, still nothing. And I'm like, all right, let's go Drastic Measures, ABC, Channel 3. Oh, that works, but not the HD one. That's weird. So I think I had it on CBS for a while, just like, let's make a deal, Price is Right, and then I think it was the news and the soaps or whatever, until I finally, I'm like, I'm going to shut you off since I'm watching TV on here. You're just on to make noise, like extra noise.
I did notice that both of the TVs had reset themselves to the non-HD channel 2, which is the first station on the tuners. So that must have happened in the middle of the night before we even woke up. But yeah, I also want to say, though, as much as I complain about Comcast, and I think that their company is the pure fucking evil of the world, I've had really good luck with them overall. Like, everybody is like, oh, it was a great time to switch to Dish. No, it really isn't. One, because Dish can't supply internet speeds anywhere near what a human being would want. Secondly, Comcast has actually been, for the most part, very good as far as signal and consistency for us. So other than the mystery of my phone number changing when it didn't work for a year and all of a sudden it's like a completely different number, I don't have... Even that's not a complaint. That's kind of like a mystery of the fucking wires, but...
Yeah. But no, so...
Bad day, send me the bill, assholes. You're going to get a call. You're going to get a call now. Now that the lines are free, you're going to be hearing from me.
No, yeah. Yeah, my sister got her bill because she's on the X1. And she's like, I'm like, I asked her because we're talking about switching over there, dropping our home phone, since me and mom both have cell phones, and basically doing what my sister and her husband have, which is just internet, and it's faster internet, and then the X1 system. And yeah. She's like, and I'm like, well, how much is your bill? And she's like, oh, it's like $50 extra right now. And I'm like, why? She's like, because the guy came out. And I'm like, oh, yeah, because your house is a mess when it comes to the wiring for cables.
Oh, I was going to say, it's just that your house is a mess. I'm like, I didn't know that we could charge more for you being a shitty housekeeper when we come in your home. Because there's a lot of days.
They went from the people, the previous homeowners had, I want to say DirecTV, and then they had Dish. So there's all these, and then they had one of the cable companies or like for internet. And so there's all these coax cables underneath. And my sister's like, oh, you could go through. And I'm like, all right, yeah, sure. And I'm in my head, I'm sitting there going with what they, cause they talked to someone at Comcast and they said, oh yeah, you just hook it up. I don't think they fully realized what they were asking of, well, do we have to do any wiring? Because right. They're going from satellite. They're like, oh, no, you just plug them into the same thing. And I'm like,
that does not work. I mean, it's coax, but the first thing Comcast does is they cut all the old wires from the satellite out, so nothing's connected to that old dish that's still sitting on top of your house that they don't take down.
It wasn't even that. They were trying to avoid that by having me do it.
Even worse. And honestly, no, they don't want to come in and try to figure out what kind of mess that you have under there. They want to just start all over. Guy came out to our place and we bought our house and just came down from the line across the street, brought it down, started in the first bedroom, popped it through the wall, went around the corner, dropped it in this bedroom, dropped it in the third bedroom down, and then the living room. And ever since then, because it splits every time it goes from the bedroom up, the front room, there are certain channels that just don't come in sometimes. It's just randomly, oh, remember how you were going to watch TNT? Guess you're not now. And it really pisses me off when I had them change the box. I've changed the box a couple of times. It doesn't do it. They just, oh, don't know why. No, I know why, because you asked had split the line 5 times before you even got to my living room. Yeah. Why not you stop doing that and give me some better cable? Nope, that's not going to happen. But I understand that instead of trying to make it work with the stuff that was already there, you just want to start over.
Yeah.
If I go into somebody's house and their router isn't working, again, I'm going back to the old days of me working in a place where I went to people's homes, and their router isn't working, their network is down, I don't need all your password stuff. I'm going to reset it, because that's going to eliminate 90% of the problems anyways.
Yeah. Okay, so actually, I want to talk about some shows here, because one I'm going to mention real quick. Do you watch Comic Book Men or
no?
I think you might like this past episode, because now,
you always say stuff like that, and then I remind you that I don't.
Well, it had Stan Lee. The whole episode had Stan Lee in there, and they had this cool little thing where one of the guys came in and he's like, like he's long time, I think like 15 years or so, he's been coming into the secret stash, getting comic books. And he's like, well, this is the end. I'm not going to be coming in next week. I'm just not interested in comic books or whatever. And this is while Stan Lee was on lunch. And they're like, and Stan comes in, they're all like bummed, basically like mourning a loss, like he just died or something. And Stan's like, well, bring him back in. Maybe I could talk him in. I'm like, all right, I think I'm going to start going to the secret stash just to be like, yeah, I'm coming. I'm not going to go there anymore. I'm not buying comics anymore. Just to have Stan Lee convince me to buy comics again. It was great because they showed the clip where they play like, oh, here's what's coming up. And you just see the guy go, put his fingers up on there. I'm like, how do you have the stones to shush Stan Lee when you are a comic book fan? I mean,
you know, first of all, I would just go into the straight up Brody speech and just start asking about superhero wangs. that's what I would do with Stan. I had dinner once with Brett Anderson, who is the artist for Astro City and Derek Robertson, who is an artist for many things, will go with The Boys because it's something that he co-created with Garth Ennis. But has done, both of them done stuff with Marvel. I mean, Brent did God Loves, Man Kills, which X-Men 2 was based around. Derek did the Nightcrawler series that was really excellent. And a lot of other things too. Derek's impersonation of the time that he went and met Stan Lee and just the whole thing is just so great. And so many comic people have those moments. Like, it's not a I'm making fun of Stan Lee thing. It's just everybody both loves Stan Lee and wants to kind of like make the jokes about Stan Lee at the same time, but it's all done out of love.
Yeah.
And I think the thing about Stan is that he is the guy that we all perceive him to be from outside of it. He is the ultimate fanboy. Like, he's just excited to be making comics. He's excited to tell stories. And obviously, his ideas of comic stories and stuff seem kind of quaint to us now. And then there's all the backroom stuff of like, oh, did he really jerk over Jack Kirby? You know, I don't think in Stan's mind he did. Now, whether he did or not is a different story and is always up for interpretation. But I think Stan just thought he was being, you know, the guy who wanted to make comics with people that he makes comics with, and Jack Kirby was obviously the guy that he made comics with if you had the fucking opportunity. Yeah. But overall, Stan is awesome, and he's just that instant draw of like, it's fucking Stan Lee, you know. At the same time, though, if I have to see Stan Lee with the guys from Comic Book Men, I think I'll skip this one.
Yeah.
I really hit my wall with like being able to put up with their bullshit. Yeah. On the show.
Well, there wasn't too much of their bullshit. They did ask and got the story of him doing the Playgirl pose or the Burt Reynolds pose. They got the story behind that, which I think he had said before, but it was cool to hear him say that. And then he shared about the time he almost quit comic books. Which led to the creation of the Fantastic Four. And then his wife breaking the typewriter that he wrote, that he created Spider-Man. He created the Fantastic Four. He wrote a lot of Captain America books for, you know, that could have went to auction and got millions of dollars.
It should be like on display in the Smithsonian or something.
Yeah. He told the story of, like, because they broke it over a fight, or she broke it over a fight. Like, she got mad, and she went and threw it, and he's like,
"Wife smash!" And just
yeah, and he's like, "Honey, why did you do that? I could have sold that for millions of dollars."
You're an Excelsior, you know.
I think it was Mike goes, "Well, why didn't you buy a new one?" He's like, "Cause I've already told." Or no, he said a friend later goes, "Why didn't you buy a new one go to an antique store and buy one that looked just like it and say that this is it?" He's like, "Cause I've already told the story to people."
Yeah, and the other thing too is that obviously Stan and those guys, you don't know in the moment that you're making history.
Yeah.
You know, it's a long number of years of doing these things and making these things happen. Even in the 80s, when comics started to kind of take off in a big way again, after going through highs and lows and then dumping in the 90s and coming back for a while, the appreciation of Stan and Jack as the basically the heroes of the Marvel Universe wasn't really quite there. It took a lot of doing, and it's more of getting in the public eye. It's people going and seeing Stan in these movies or hearing Stan's voice when he's doing the introductions of the Spider-Man cartoon and stuff, that we started to get a behind the scenes thing. I didn't know for years who made comic books. I just thought comic books happened.
Yeah.
I knew that there were names and stuff up the front. I didn't read those because that's at the bottom. I'm reading the dialogue and shit. I got X-Men to follow.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and Stanley, it's going to be a tough day when Stan goes.
Yeah.
You know, he's obviously, you know, he's an old guy. He's still a pretty vibrant guy for all things.
He's like 93 or something like that.
Yeah, but
he's
you want to be around forever.
Yeah.
And it's gonna be hard when he's not here anymore. I know that it goes through patches of people have hero worship for what he's done, but then there's the other faction of, oh, screw Stanley, and you know, he's dumb, or his comics are dumb, or whatever. He did Ravage 2099, or because Kirby was the real mastermind behind everything. None of that really matters, you know, because the guy is a cool guy, and the guy's made great stories and developed things that have affected all of us, you know, all of us nerds, in one way or another. It, from the comics themselves, or going forward through how he's run his business to doing stuff on TV and movies and stuff. And even just showing up in the pop culture shows, like being on Big Bang Theory and Comic Book Men. I think that there's... I hope that the world realizes now that he's important to us, and don't just regret later on, oh man, I missed my shot at appreciating Stan Lee while he was around. Because I feel like that with Jack Kirby. Yeah. I wasn't a huge Kirby fan. You know, it wasn't even directly after his death. It was a few years after his death when I started to go back and find out more about his stuff. I'm like, oh wow, Jack did a lot of shit.
Yeah.
I did not realize how impactful he was to everything over at Marvel and DC, and the stuff that's built on this guy's shoulders. And yeah, that's why I try not to harsh too many comic creators of today, not because I think that they're all making great stuff or anything. I mean, I'll fucking piss on Chuck Austin. Screw that guy. But the rest of them and everything, I want to at least... It's hard to make story happen. It's hard to do that kind of work. And it's hard to be in the eyes of such a judgmental fan base all the time who never really know what they want, but sure as hell will tell you that you're not doing it right.
Yeah.
If you're Dan Slott or Mark Waid or Brian Bendis... or Mark Miller, who I've had complaints about, some of those guys, and maybe I'm right, maybe I'm wrong, but they're the ones who are fucking doing the comics, and if they weren't, somebody shittier could be doing it, but I'm not, you know, it's not me, so what the fuck do I get to say? And no, now we're going to go on to reviews.
Yeah, because you set me up a couple times, but you kept talking, transitions.
And the first one,
basically, I want to talk Deadpool. Now Beat hasn't seen the movie, but
oh god damn it, Beat!
No, but I feel comfortable enough that what we say as spoilers won't really ruin the movie, sort of thing.
And I would have been able to deal with it if you had to spoil things, if now, I hadn't been able to see it. But yeah. I am gonna try to be cool to the Beat.
Cause see, here's my first question though. And it's about and the end scene, not the post credits tribute to Ferris Bueller, but the end battle scene. Is it cool talking about the setting, do you think?
I don't know. You'd have to ask him. Fortunately, he's in the chat.
Yeah. because I saw this and I'm like, are they fighting on a thing here that may or may not exist in this universe because of rights? I'm beating around it without spoiling it for Beat, waiting for him to say yes, go for it, or no, don't spoil it.
He's just gonna ignore us. He's watching Diamond Club.
Yeah,
screw probably, that guy.
Probably he's watching Night Attack. So I'm gonna come right out and say it then. I don't care. He's had his plenty of time to say go for it or not. But were they fighting on a shield helicarrier?
I did not even think of that when I was watching it happening. But that is something that I've seen a couple of people say online post the fact, and it's one of those. I also got asked today about the Ryan Reynolds full frontal scene, which I guess is something that people are talking a lot about, which I didn't notice.
Wait, are you talking about the naked fight?
Maybe? I don't know. See, that's the thing, is I do not know. A coworker's wife was saying, oh yeah, apparently there's full frontal of Ryan Reynolds. And he's like, so is that why we're going to see this movie? She's like, no, no, no. But yeah, that's why they're going to see it. I don't remember that at all.
No, if it's what I think it is, because I had remembered hearing something about, like, it was an interview talking about with Ryan Reynolds saying how, like, so someone had asked him, well, what's it like, or how did it feel to fight naked or whatever? Or something like, it was something like along those lines. And I'm thinking it was the one scene where he's fighting Ajax for the first time. And because there's fire and stuff, his hospital gown burned off. And then it's sort of like, it's full frontal in the fact that you could see, like, shadow of Dong, but it's not full frontal in Watchmen, here's Dr. Manhattan's penis.
Sort of thing. Also, at that point in time, Deadpool was not, you know, it was not attractive Wang. It was the Tommy Lee of today, not the Tommy Lee of 30 years ago. I don't know.
No.
I've not recently seen Tommy Lee's Wang. No, I don't know. The helicarrier thing, what I do know is that that's around the time that they lost money, where Fox decided to cut their budget by about $7 million.
Yeah.
And as I understand it, that is why the bag full of weapons got left in the car. But damn it, if you're going to have that happen to you the way that they handled it, and by inserting that into the movie as a joke, was way good.
No,
and yeah. I didn't know it, but not knowing that going into it and just seeing that scene, I just thought it was really funny. It was kind of a throwback to earlier in the movie too, and it just worked. It worked 100%.
It beats saying, mentioning that this is all material that will appear in the director's cut on Blu-ray. The word is that there is not going to be a director's cut. That's my hearings. And so I don't know for 100% certainty on any of this, but I don't know. So, but
all right.
I'm going to say this, that we, or the theater I was in, we laughed right during the opening credits.
From the very beginning.
Yeah.
From the very beginning of this movie, it is funny as shit. And I know that there is some modern humor that I don't necessarily get. I don't think a lot of the Judd Apatow stuff is super funny. I don't think a lot of the Seth Rogen, who's the good looking friend of Seth Rogen that I,
James Franco?
Yeah, who doesn't really seem that talented to me, but whatever. I get that people like him. He's a likable guy, absolutely.
Yeah.
I don't get a lot of their stuff. The 21-22 Jump Street, I didn't think was super funny. And these are the modern comedies that is like a sign of, okay, humor has passed me by, or maybe to just a different degree, there's a new kind of humor that I just, you know, don't take to in the same way that younger people do. But this movie, I laughed really hard at certain things. Not everything. You know, it was a bit long in the middle. Maybe that's where the nude scene was. But
I think so, yeah.
That was a pun. That's why I'm not funny.
No, I'm
there
just
were points
completely
in this where I laughed to the point where I started to black out a little bit, and I'm not even being over the top of that. I mean, I laughed, and not enough oxygen was hitting my brain, and I felt a little dizzy, and I kind of leaned over on my popcorn just a bit, and I had my asthma inhaler in my pocket. But I didn't think that it was going to make it to my mouth before I conked. I was just like, I was so sure. So I had to kind of reel myself in because there was so much more that I didn't want to miss any of it.
No, there's, and here's the thing that I can say about myself is, as you notice from watching from listening and watching, I have a distinctive laugh. I've heard people go, oh, Greg's here just because of my laugh. And I had that. I let one out because usually when I'm in a movie theater or, you know, public place like that, I try to keep it under wraps. But there was, I cannot remember the line, but there was a line that it just got to me to where I let out a full, just this, the belching laugh, and I'm like, no one else laughed, damn it. And I felt ashamed. Or no one laughed as hard as I did.
A friend of mine posted he laughed for 5 minutes straight at the term Fat Gandalf. There was just a lot of great things in there. And it wasn't all from Ryan Reynolds, which I think is good. And it wasn't necessarily TJ Miller either. I remember what probably almost killed me, and that was the baby hand. That part really, really got me. So in that case, it was Deadpool himself. But just so much of the movie was so great. And yes, there are certain things that it did that, you know, obviously, while she wasn't a weak character in any way, shape, or form, we do have a damsel in distress situation towards the end. They do a lot to show that that's not all that she is. Even in that moment, you know, they give her some pretty badass cues and stuff. But it's there. You know, it's a hero has to rescue the girl movie by the end of it.
Yeah.
The depiction of Colossus, I think, was really, really great, except for the fact that it didn't really make me think of Colossus too much.
Yeah.
I think it underserves a character that has unfortunately been underserved a lot in the X-Men movies, because I have a friend who Colossus was his favorite character of all time. And I would have liked to see Colossus get his due in being both Colossus and Pewter and having that duality. But if you're going to put a big guy into this and have him be kind of like the good guy trope and stuff, and have some good interplay with him and Deadpool, yeah, Colossus was a good one to choose.
No, because, I mean, especially now with how he is in the comics, it seemed like they were fairly true to how he is as a character, but more with his sister, which is weird because they had Negasonic Teenage Warhead sort of in his sister role. In that way.
Well, in a trainee role. And I have to say, maybe my favorite part of the entire thing was the fact that Negasonic Teenage Warhead is wearing what is a classic X-Men, or even more likely, a classic New Mutants uniform.
Yeah.
That made me just leap out of my chair for joy the first time I saw that, because that is just so great. That is... I grew up on New Mutants. As much as I read the X-Men and stuff, New Mutants I got to read from the very beginning. It came out right after the Brood Saga was happening, or sort of at the same time, and they had the interaction between them and the X-Men, and then they moved Kitty over to the team, and Kitty was like, Professor Xavier's a jerk. All that great shit happened in my era of comics.
Yeah.
And I was so, so pleased to see that. And I know that she is nothing like her character in the comics, but the character that they made her in this worked really well for the movie.
Yeah.
For what they wanted her to be, and again, to interplay with Deadpool. The characters in this were to make Deadpool's character shine. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, the Vanessa character, the TJ Miller's character, I like the fact that they got Bob in there for no good goddamn reason other than to have Bob in there. And Al and everything, but all of those were there to elevate the Deadpool character's film.
Yeah.
And they did. Everybody did what they were supposed to do.
Uh-huh. And the one thing I do like is that where this did seem, this was an origin story, and I think it stayed fairly true, you know, with obviously with making some corrections or some changes, not necessarily corrections, but it stayed fairly true to the source of the origin of Deadpool's origin. But it was still entertaining, and they gave you a reason for why Deadpool breaks the fourth wall in a literal sense. Like, it started out like he was just a smartass, and then it turns out, oh, he's, you know, it's not necessarily that he's self-aware, but in a way it is that he's self-aware, and that, you know, they're going to have these funny moments because he's telling the story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's telling you this whole story from the beginning. And actually, the cool part is I just went, before coming here, I went to one of the local coffee shops to meet some of the guys from that college group. And the question was, what is Deadpool's superpower? Because they have these trivia questions. And I'm like, I could beat that. I could answer that question. And I told the lady, I'm like, I can answer that question to just all awe. She looked, she's like, I don't even know what that is. And she looks down, she's like, well, it says here, hyper healing and something else. And I'm like, yeah, that's the tip of the iceberg. There's like a lot bit more that they consider powers that he has and all that. And then they changed the question as we left. And I'm like, well, what is it? And I will phrase it to you. What movie swept the Academy Awards? And it was the 76th annual Academy Awards. So every movie every nomination it had, it won.
I have no idea. I don't watch the Academy Awards.
Yeah. It was the last Lord of the Rings movie, The Return of the King. It was nominated in 11 categories and it won all 11. And I saw that. I'm like, oh, that's cool. But yeah, and so, but no, back to Deadpool.
And sorry, that was just a quick little aside. If you find that interesting, you can follow Trivia Geeks over on Stitcher.
Exactly.
Or iTunes.
But no.
Which back you to should, that. Anyways. It's a great show.
Yeah. And I was just on there like 2 weeks ago, and Corey was on there a month ago.
Yeah, we don't have to talk about that.
Okay. you talk about the fact that we both lost.
I lost to Matt.
That's
worse. It's worse that I lost to Matt Stein, okay?
So what you're saying is me and you need to coordinate and get on there at the same time so we could figure out a loser of the losers?
No, I just think I'm going to get a sock full of pennies and I'm going to go after Matt Stein while he sleeps. Make some change. Yeah, so Deadpool was a great time. People were even laughing during the credits. It just from beginning to end, it knew what it wanted to be. There was obviously a Stan Lee cameo that was excellent. There was a Rob Liefeld cameo, which made me happy.
There was a couple of Rob Liefeld like Easter eggs in there.
Yeah, absolutely. And
a couple Green Lantern ones. At least one I think I might be putting more on because I didn't see anyone mention it. But it was. And here's the cool part. If you've only seen the test footage that they had released a while back ago, that's the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
That's like the literal beginning is the end of it where the car's flipping. That's where the opening credits are in, and they're doing this sweet like 360 CGI freeze frame thing where you see in there. I think you see what looked like an Alex Ross Green Lantern card.
Mm-hmm.
And there I'm like, is that Green Lantern?
Yeah, they didn't shy away from any of that. From doing everything they could to let you know, we get it. We've fucked up in the past. Not just us, but some of us in other special ways and
just
places.
Just don't make my costume animated.
Yeah. I think it obviously deserves all the success it's having. I think it's an amazing, good time.
And
I'm not sure that it has beaten out X2 as my favorite of the Fox superhero movies.
Yeah.
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 I have to watch them in tandem.
Yeah, I would have to say, though, that after getting... When I got out of the movie theater, my first thought was, like, I cannot wait for the DVD version to where hopefully they will have... You know, a director's cut's fine, but... I want to see a PG-13 cut of it and how they're changing. Because I was sitting there thinking, like walking around the movie theater, of how they can change it for FX, for FXM, you know, for whatever channel it gets on Fox.
Would not take a lot. Would not take nearly as much as what people were making out that it was going to be.
But it's cool because they could do funny things with it. You know, not even so much of the doing pan and scan like they do for some scenes when there's like nudity or whatever, but you could just have like the Deadpool character come in and just like with censored old-timey censored sticks over things or whatever.
And yeah, do some animated stuff. I mean, it depends on how far they want to go with it. And obviously some of that comes down to the budget as well, which we know Fox didn't have a huge amount of confidence in this. Fox made this because the slipped footage from before and people reacting to it online like, oh, maybe we should make this movie. Maybe we should listen to Ryan and to Tim and let this happen. But we're still not going to go all in on it. Yeah. And I think this has been a wide awakening for them. If you haven't, read the post from James Gunn. A few articles have reposted what he said. I read it from James because I follow him on Facebook. He's a really cool guy. Director of Guardians of the Galaxy and other things, and a previous R-rated superhero movie, if you count Super. What he said is there's a lot of great lessons to learn from the success of Deadpool, and Hollywood is likely to get them all wrong.
Yeah.
The first one being today is the rumor that the next Wolverine movie is going to be R-rated. What I want to see is a release saying that the next Wolverine movie is not going to be a piece of shit. That's what they need to pick up. Be authentic to the character. I don't mean authentic, like tell a storyline exactly like they happened in the comics or anything else like that. So that's not what I mean by authenticity. I mean, be authentic to the character's
spirit,
ideals, goals, spirit. Exactly. You know, let them have a voice. Let the fans be a part of it. The thing about Deadpool to me was that it was a movie made by fans for the fans, you know, starring fans, and that makes a difference. The amount of thought process of how do we take such and such superhero character and make them into a mainstream success, you know, how do we alter this to make this work, that's where things seem to go wrong. Oh, we can't do all these crazy things from the comics because regular people aren't going to understand that. Regular people are a lot fucking smarter than you think, and like everybody who's posted memes a few years ago, is people went out and saw a movie starring a talking tree and a talking raccoon.
Uh-huh.
They are smart. They want to be entertained. And you don't have to make a movie dark just to make it dark and cool, especially if it's not a character that's normally dark. You don't have to make a movie that tries to overthink things. You want to be intelligent about it. You want to use the characters and have them struggle and succeed in smart ways, but you also want to have fun. And I feel like if anything, and I don't know that he had any involvement at all, but I know that Fox had been getting Mark Miller involved in their films and stuff, and he was supposed to be helping out with some of the directions of the X-Men films and the Fantastic Four films. And he better have run and ducked for cover if he had anything to do with that Fantastic Four movie.
Yeah.
But if he had any kind of involvement or input on Deadpool, this feels the most like a Miller film. Uh-huh. You know, this feels like Wanted or the original Kick-Ass or what was the one with the spy kid who's now on the Eagle?
Secret Service or Kingsman.
Kingsman. Yeah, this seemed like that because those things are over the top. Kind of hyper-violent, funny, fun, crazy, and that's what this movie did. I don't think this movie is a standout in that it's like, oh, it's a surprise R-rated hit. I mean, it is a very big surprise at how well it's doing, and it's R-rated, and it's already breaking records, and it's probably going to break more records. That's great, you know, but we've had R-rated superheroes. It goes back to Blade. It goes back to the 80s Punisher with Dolph Lundgren. Yeah. We've had comic superheroes in R-rated films before. This was lightning in a bottle because it was something that was marketed incredibly well, and it was something that the studios had no idea that they themselves wouldn't have done, that they tried to not let happen, and that they're not going to figure out how to make it happen again. They're going to try to copy it without understanding what it is to make it work. And what made this work was the originality of it. It got to be its own thing. It didn't try to be Guardians of the Galaxy. It didn't try to be any of the Marvel films. It tried to be a Deadpool movie. And it succeeded in being a really good Deadpool movie. But its success goes further because it knew what it was grabbing from and what it was trying to make. And if you can't do that, I'm looking at you, Man of Steel, maybe you just don't. Maybe you just don't. Maybe you're the wrong person to take on this project.
Yeah. I will say, though, because you mentioned Kingsman, the preview, one of the previews that they showed before Deadpool was for Eddie the Eagle.
Mm-hmm.
I did not realize
that was the kid from Kingsman?
Yeah, that was the kid from Kingsman. Holy crap, that dude needs... If they give, you know how a lot of times they'll give awards, like Academy Awards for people who go through drastic body changes for movies, that should put him on the radar. Because I did not recognize him as the kid, the punk kid in... Or basically the main character in Kingsman Secret Service until, like, it said Taron Egerton, and, like, I'm like, it is, holy crap. And secondly, I'll say, hey, Corey, we're in a book.
How's that?
Because did you get your book yet?
I've gotten 3 copies so far.
Did you look in the back, in this back part right here?
No, I took a copy into work today because I'm trying to let other people read the book. I want to, spread that shit around. Hey, so by the way, the book we're talking about for you audio listeners who don't exist, we are talking about The Life Engineered by our...
Corey, here's the cool part. Here's the cool part. I'm zooming in right there. I don't know if you could see it. We're on the same line.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
The Life Engineered by J.F. DeBow, a friend of the Galactic Netcast Network, and obviously a podcaster himself with his Overwatch podcast and the Right Brain podcast that he's doing with Inkshares, who published this book along with the Sword and Laser contest. And
yes, this is an official Sword and Laser selection.
I believe JF is going to be on a Sword and Laser podcast coming up very soon. I think he just posted about that.
Yeah. I just wanted to mention that because you can get it right now. Maybe some other secret business stuff that might happen with this later. I don't know. We'll have to see. But yeah, so that's all real quick. And that's also more because I needed a quick clean break between that and other things. Between Deadpool and the next topic that we got to go through in the last 20 minutes. So I wanted to mention the TV show You, Me, and the Apocalypse. I don't know if you're watching the show or aware that it even exists, but this is a really cool show. This is a co-production between Sky, the Sky Broadcasting Company over in England, and NBC, where it stars a lot of English actors in there, but then also Rob Lowe, Megan Mullally, Jenna Fisher. I blanked out her name there for a second.
Jenna Fisher, who has a throwback, used to be married to James Gunn.
Did she really?
Yeah.
Wow, cool. And the latest episode may or may not have featured Nick Offerman in there as well, which was hilarious because there's a brief, like two brief moments where Nick and his actual wife, Megan Mullally, are in this. I found it hilarious because I'm sitting there watching it and you see gun pointed at Jenna Fisher's character and it's Nick Offerman. What does Megan Mullally's character do? Runs away. it was one of those things, like, it's like I found it more amusing than what it needed to be. But still, it was great. But You, Me, and the Apocalypse is a, like I said, it's post, but it's set in this world, like around this time, really. But there's an asteroid that got knocked off course and is heading straight for us, and they catch it, and so they say, hey, the world is going to, there's the comet is going to, or asteroid is going to crash into Earth 34 days from now. Sort of deal. And it's just people living with knowing that fact, like how things happen. Do they, you know, are they more of like, let's just loot and steal and rob? And then you have the government side of things, which features, I cannot think of the guy's name, but he's an English actor, but he's doing he's sort of doing an American accent. I say that because it just looks like from watching him, it sounds like he's choosing more American words, but still, it's still his, like, there's not really like, when you listen to Andrew Garfield, as when he's as Peter Parker, you're like, okay, yeah, cool, he's American. You hear him as English, you're like, wait, what? He's English? Sort of thing. Like, there's a distinct difference between the two, at least for me. This one, there wasn't that difference, and I'm like, wait, is he American? Is he, where is he from? Exactly. But besides the point, that's just how my mind works. There's all these talks about, like, you know, what's going to happen, like, these plans in there. One is a bunker where they're going to get, I think it was a bunker for 15 people, and all of them are going to be women. And they're calling it Project Genesis, to where they survive the meteor crash, and then they're going to repopulate the Earth, sort of deal. By basically, they're going to be in there with a sperm bank, sort of thing. And then that part was seemed like, okay, that's the Fallout video game response to this. What else do we got? But it's really funny. The moments in there are really funny. Like I mentioned with this episode, it featured Nick Offerman, full bearded Nick Offerman. So, you know, manly Nick Offerman, as I like to put it. And he's this lone guy out in Oklahoma who is on, just got his own little farm right there. And he has a secret that he likes to wear women's clothes. And he shares it with her. I'm like, wow, that's great casting to get Nick Offerman, you know, Ron Swanson for a lot of people, to play this role. And it was great. It was great to see. But yeah, and that's You Mean the Apocalypse. It airs Thursdays at, I think, 8 p.m. on NBC. And it's well worth the checkout. Corey, have you figured out anything else you watched?
I watched one of the other shows that you have down on your list.
Oh, would that be Not Safe with Nikki Glaser?
That is exactly what I watched.
Yes, I watched that today, actually. Before I went to the coffee shop to meet some of my friends. Mainly because I'm like, oh, well, let's see. Oh, yeah, that show came on. And I'm pleasantly surprised by this show.
I have to admit, I developed a huge crutch on Nikki Glaser on her times on At Midnight.
Yeah.
I think she is awesomely funny. And I was thinking, okay, yeah, I'll check out our show when it comes on. It just happened to be on the other night. And one of the things the X1 does is it lets you, when you're watching a show, if it happens to be on demand, it's like, hey, would you like to restart this from the beginning? Fuck yeah, I would, Comcast. Let's do some shit. So I watched it. It is quite good. It is quite filthy. Far more so than I probably expected. She is semi-fearless in the interaction she has with people. She goes to a foot fetish convention and lets random guys play with their feet a little bit. I thought it was amazing and weird and disturbing.
And especially with, like, I could never... Sorry, I just read Beat's comment. And no is the answer to that. But I felt it was
Tarantino doesn't go to conventions. He orders in.
Yeah. I felt it was pretty fearless, and like, this would be where I my feet aren't, you know, nasty or anything like that, but like, I have very sensitive feet. If anyone else touches my feet, I will kick them in the face. Not like out of, oh, my feet are nasty, but out of reflex. Sort of deal. And so she showed her feet, and, you know, to me, I saw them, I'm like, okay, that's the feet of a woman who wears heels. You know, who wears heels all the time, or wears, you know, the pointed girl shoe, as I will call it. But then when she goes in there and she's touching, I'm like, And then you get the creepy big guy. I'm like, why? Why do the things that I didn't know BDSM applied to foot fetishes as well. With how he was talking about sticking toothpicks and other things under the fingernail or under the toenails. I'm like, no! Dude, I'm sorry, but nah. That's a good thing I'm not a woman.
I don't know if it necessarily matters with him, but yeah, yeah. Here's the thing. Other people's kink is that it's not so much that it's taboo, but you just don't want to know. You just don't want to know. I've had friends who have they've loaned porn to other people, and I don't begrudge that, I guess, because porn at that point in time was very expensive. But do you really want to know what other people are watching for their porn? Do you and then
it is
weird that it's strange to me, but I always emphasize the fact that I am messed up. I'm not just a little bit. I'm very much a prude, even though I'm a dirty mouth son of a bitch. Hi, Mom. I have issues, and they're my issues, and I recognize that. So I'm not judging. I'm not judging you, man. You want to share your porn, or you want to play with the bunion? You find someone who's mutually okay with you putting bamboo shoots underneath their toenails? You people have a great time. That is what the joy of living is about, and I am all for you having that. I don't want to know. Yeah. I don't want to see it. I don't want to know about it. It's okay that I can live my life in my little sheltered world. That's my kink, is to not deal with your kink. All right? Yeah. We'll just go with that.
No, yeah. And then the
but I like the show.
Yeah, no, the show is great. The show is funny. I liked the tap out segment that they did with creating the fake Tinder account. And then realize, and then like getting a guy, and I'm sort of, as they're going along, I'm like, he's in the audience. There's no way that they could just do this and then like not get his permission to sign off on, hey, can we show your picture and give this what was essentially sensitive details on this, what you thought were private discussions you had with a woman who left her kid in a car?
I mean, it at worst, it was just, this is how far I'm willing to go down the shithole to get laid. And, yeah. And it's like,
yeah, which was hilarious.
I'm a guy. Why wouldn't I? I love the fact that he dropped out at one point, but then later on he just like, no, I'll come back.
It was great, yeah.
We knew we hit our limit, and he was gone, but then he returned. I thought that was so great. Yeah, it's a fun exploration of just the weirdness, especially in the internet age today, of these things that people do and are into and stuff. And it's fascinating to me as much as it is disturbing to me.
Yeah.
But someone who can be entertaining and put a great spin on it at the same time. I mean, she nailed it. I loved the show. I've put it on the... It's on the DVR now, so...
Yeah.
Until Comcast fucks it up!
So, in the last show... The last show that I will, at the very least, mention, at the very most, we will have a full-on discussion, is The Walking Dead.
Never heard of it.
So you gave up on it?
Oh, whoa, yes.
Okay, because this one... I fell in love with this episode because of the fact that where it ended off with the dude who had the Negan's gang, as they were called, that had the surprising conclusion of, hey, that rocket launcher we showed you a couple episodes ago, we get to use it. And I'm like, that's awesome. The effects in this episode were beautiful. Watching Talking Dead afterwards, well, the next day, where you have Greg Nicotero, who directed the episode, was cool to see. The fact that they went so far because this is the episode where Carl gets shot in the eye. And so to see how they did the effect, both in the practical and digital sense, I'm sitting there as a film nerd going, that's not where I thought they did with that sort of deal. Like, I think they had, when he got shot and you see, like, he's sitting there looking and, you know, you got half the face here. They did the classic three, like two takes of, you got his reaction, and they imposed the dummy that they made and did the eye thing over his other eye. And I'm sitting there going, that's awesome. That's like old school filmmaking stuff right there. You know, that's like the beginning of CG and all that right there. And then the using a dummy, which looked so realistic for a lot of it. Like, they only put on a prosthetic for the end when he's actually doing movement, which was cool to see, like, oh, hey, it looks, you know, that makes a little bit more sense. But so I was excited for that, and I'm still enjoying the show. So hey, you give up on it, whatever.
So what cool. You're saying though is that you're a sadist.
It's well,
not trying to judge your kink, Gregor. I already told you it's you enjoy what you enjoy. I'm just saying it was a sicko.
More, it's not necessarily the fact that okay, they just shot a kid's eye, or you know, shot a kid's eye, quote unquote, because you know it's a story. It's not real. It's more of the effects, like how they did it.
No, that's one of the absolutely impressive effects. Yeah. I want to be clear. I don't dislike The Walking Dead because it's a bad show or a badly produced show or a badly acted show.
No.
The writing is hit or miss for me, and especially the repetitive, Rick is a good guy. No, Rick's a bad guy. No, he's a good guy. No, he's a bad guy. You know, Rick is... I'm tired of the Rickness. I ain't down with the Rickness, but...
I was thinking it. Dang it, you beat me to it.
I hit my limit with it. And what happened the other day was that Aaron, my wife, said, wait, Glenn's not dead? I said, oh, no. She's like, but we saw him die. I said, no, we didn't. We didn't see him die. She's like, but we saw him get torn to bits. Nope, that didn't actually happen. It was all a ruse. And she's like, fuck that show. And I said, well, that's I kind of felt that way already, but I've been waiting for you. There were, up until Comcast fucked it up, 5 episodes on the DVR from last season that we had not watched.
Oh, so she never saw...
We never saw past, I think, either the episode where Glenn died or the following episode where I think stuff happened in the town again. We stopped. Now, they were still there, and I kept waiting for the okay to get rid of them. But she had never given it. She's like, oh, we'll get back to it eventually, I'm sure. And I'm like, oh, I don't really want to go back to it. But okay, all right, fine. And I just waited. And then it was going to record on Sunday night. And she brought it up first because I guess some other people were talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, yeah, you know, so it's still recording. She's like, no, we don't need to watch it anymore. I'm like, oh, thank God. Because I talked about this on my Facebook post, it feels like a huge weight has been lifted off of me. And again, not because it's a bad show, but because I couldn't take it anymore. Now, part of it is just you watch the show after a certain point, and it's just waiting to see who dies.
Uh-huh.
And Game of Thrones is like that to a certain degree. I think Game of Thrones has a more compelling story because it's not just dealing with the undead and then people trying to kill you in the world of the undead. I think there's a lot more going on, but I feel like that sometimes with Game of Thrones too, and so I hit my moments where I'm like, do I really want to watch this next week?
Yeah.
But Walking Dead, it was just, you know, I like some of these characters. I've kind of gotten worn down by some of the other characters, but I don't want to just keep tuning in to see, oh, this is the week that this one goes, or this is the week where these two go, or this love affair that we've been watching build up, well, we know that's not going to last. It hit me to a point of, like, I care too much so that I feel like I have to stop caring.
Yeah.
And to stop caring means I don't watch the show anymore, because and why would fine. I just tune in after that?
That's so, fine, because yeah. For me, I don't watch it for everyone else who was like, oh, I like the zombies, or I like the story or whatever. Like, it is the story for me, but what else I get is, and this is something that Greg Nicotero actually said, is Scott Gimple and Robert Kirkman will come in and go, okay, we want these panels done. And that to me is the cool part, like where you have episodes where from reading the comic you can go, okay, this is these three issues of the comic, almost exactly panel for panel. And it's cool to see that to me is the cool part. Like the story, yeah, I'm enjoying the story. I'm all the things that you're finding that you're not liking, I'm still handling. I'm still enjoying it.
Absolutely. And yeah. And Dave posted about the new episode, and he's like, it's so crazy, I just can't believe they did that and everything. And that's the same thing of Dave liking Gotham. He likes that over the top, just fucking blew my mind stuff that they do on these shows, and that's perfectly valid. You know, I understand that. I just know I go through the shows that I'm watching, and it's getting tougher now. I mean, obviously we were watching a lot of TV, and when I had, you know, 2 years of not working and stuff, it was even easier. We watch a lot of different shows. And I watch sometimes not great shows. I watch shows that are just sort of like there. And I know that. And I rewatch things in syndication. I watch the same things over and over again sometimes. Or I watch shows that are just sort of filler into the next show. I can't keep that kind of pace mentally while I'm trying to, you know, both create content here and Podcast of Terror. While I would like to get back to writing, while I would like to spend some time with the fucking loved ones, my cat is dying, that kind of stuff. I need some mental breaks. So as I find shows that I am so in love with, like Justified or Sense8, the Netflix Marvel stuff was really good this year. Fargo was phenomenal. It's harder for me to, we'll use a term again, justify watching shows that don't fulfill me in the same way. Now, I don't mind a mental break of Big Bang Theory, which is, you know, started out as a really fun show and has gotten a little repetitive and dumb. But it's kind of like it's junk food for my mind. You know, but one of my best friends, who is one of the smartest people I know, watches the MTV reality shows. Or Party Down South.
Matt Stein is the smartest person you know?
No, Matt's definitely smart. I give him shit about the Trivia Geeks thing, but he is a smart guy. No, my friend Chris, who is really a brilliant guy, and doesn't oversell that, but it's just who he is. But he watches Kardashian bullshit and all of these different things. And it's sickening to us to think of him, of all people, watching this stuff, but he watches TV to turn his brain off. So yeah. I get the, sometimes you watch something to relax. The problem is that I'm watching shows like Walking Dead and Game of Thrones, and it's not letting me even relax. So I'm already pissed off by the content, and it's upping my heart rate. Like, I am not a healthy man, but I passed out in the theater almost. I'm getting anxious sitting there in my chair trying to watch these shows because, like, in some ways, I know this is the one where this person dies. I just know. I instinctively know these things. And it's not doing anything to help me enjoy that time. So I kind of, like, sometimes Erin puts on her dumb horror movies, and I watch dumb horror movies. It's not my job, quote, unquote. But it's something that I do for this other show. And I know some of the horror movies are really bad, and she'll tell me that they're really bad. But then she goes and watches her own dumb horse shit, and I walk out of the room on some of these things. Not because it disturbs me, but just because it's not fulfilling me in any way. And I hit the point where The Walking Dead, that it was a good show for me for a long time, but then it made me angry. It made me anxious. It made me emotionally feel upset instead of involved or caring or, you know, having fun. And so I had to stop for my own personal mental health and well-being, and in some ways physical health. And I got a lot of people who agreed with me, But, you know, some of them are never really got into it or watch it up to the third season and quit and don't feel bad about it. And I appreciate that. You know, I made a similar statement about Blade Runner the other night. But I'm not trying to say the people who enjoy it are dumb or that the show's shitty or anything else like that. Fabian Nicieza, I'm name-dropping, commented, and he said, I totally get what you're saying, but I thought last night's episode was great. Absolutely. You know, and that's the thing, is I heard about this episode this week, and it does sound like a very good episode of The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Stuff happens, you know, it's highly impactful, characters you care about, life-changing stuff. That's the thing where the show really succeeds. I totally feel like, yeah, that would be the thing that I would be like, cool, or holy shit. But it's a lot to get to those points.
Yeah.
And so it's not for me anymore.
No, yeah, and that's, again, completely understandable. This is cool that, you know, we get these moments here. So we're going to wrap things up because we are going a little bit longer than what we intend on doing. So all I'm going to say is you can go to elsnerds.com. You will find links to all of our stuff, our Facebook, Twitter. Twitter's just at elsnerds. Our YouTube, all that stuff should be there. If not, I'm slacking and I am a jerk and I completely apologize. And we record what else? Belt, drink, whatever game you want to play. We record the Elsnerds show just about every Monday night at 9:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 p.m. Western, 2:30 p.m. or 2:30 a.m. English, UTC. And also, you can support, since we are still planning, that's why we're in beta still, to combine with the Galactic Netcast. And one way that you could support them and all these shows that you love over there, whether it be Podcast of Terror with Corey and Matt, Sci-Fi Geeks Club, Weird World Weekly, Alien Invasion, Adventure Party, Exploring the X-Files, Who News and Reviews.
What's Daryl's new one? The surviving.
The sci-fi survival or something like that.
Sci-fi survival guide. Is that it? Right.
Yes. Yeah. Sci-fi survival guide.
I'm really looking forward to that. I don't know if it's actually started yet or not, but I'm really looking forward to that one. That'll be a hell of a lot of fun.
Yeah. And then there's, I think JF is doing a podcast with, Galactic Netcast as well.
I believe he has something that's coming out very soon, yes.
Yeah. But if you want to support all that, be like me and support the podcast network that I will soon be on. Fish snake eating its tail sort of thing right there. You can go to Patreon, GNcasts?
It's patreon.com/GalacticNetcasts, I believe. That's
okay. Yeah. Or go to GNcasts.com. They have it right there. You can give as much or as little as you want. Give a dollar, and it's all monthly. It's all yes. So
talk about this. I always say this on my other show that there is a $20 a month. This is a big commitment. It is a big commitment. I know $20 a month for a podcast network. What are you crazy? A little bit. I'm a little nutty, but here's what you get for that $20 a month. Basically, support range. You get to create your own goddamn show on Galactic Netcast, and you get to choose the host, and you get to choose what the topic of the show is. You make us make you a personalized podcast. Now, we'll release it to everybody. Everybody will be able to listen to it, unless you don't want to. I don't fucking care. But it's your goddamn show for $20 a month. Now, for the price of a cup of coffee, you can drink some coffee. But for $20 a month, can get a goddamn podcast.
Four coffees right there.
It depends on what kind of coffee you drink. Some people actually are still making fine with the Folgers. I'm just saying, $20 a month, it's an investment in potential greatness. Or bullshit. We can pull out a lot of bullshit. It really give us what you want, and we'll work with it.
If you want, let's say you want Corey to do a third podcast in which he talks about comic books.
Oh, God damn it, don't do that.
and you might want his co-host to be a dude who's sitting in a room right now with red paint with two metal posters of comic book covers, then hey, $20 a month.
Seriously, it can be a $20 hate crime. You can subject to, I can talk about embroidery week to week. I don't want to. I have no knowledge of it. But I will do that for you. I will do that for you because I support Galactic Netcast, and we think you should support Galactic Netcast. But supporting Galactic Netcast is getting Galactic Netcast to support the audience. And that's what it's all about.
Yeah, which something I'm going to mention with that afterwards. But anyways, the last thing to say is this has been a Don't Tell Glenn production. We will see you guys next time.
Take care, everybody.